Psalms. And book of Psalm, and tonight we're going to talk about the impregnable refuge. Psalms chapter 142. The impregnable refuge that God is. Psalm 142. It'll be mostly in the book of Psalms tonight, but we'll hit a few other spots. There's many things the Lord has called in the book of Psalms for us. He's called our shield and our rock many, many times. He's called our strength. He is called many things in Psalms many, many times. My glory. And those are the common ones, I would think. And I don't know if any of them is more common than the phrase, my refuge. My refuge is in God. Maybe the most common one in Psalms, very common. God's spoken of as a refuge. A refuge. The word refuge in the Hebrew is kasa, which means to flee for protection, figuratively to confide in. To flee to for protection, or figuratively to confide in. You run and you go to a place and you hide in that place. You get there and you get shelter there. That's what the refuge is. Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I privately have walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked to my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the refuge that we have in you. Lord, it's such a beautiful truth, and it's so expounded so wonderfully in the Psalms. I'm sure, Lord, that I can't do it justice, but I pray, Lord, that you would speak and you would help us and you would show us this truth, draw people to you, and draw us to take advantage of the blessing we have and the help we have and the refuge we have. Please, Lord, work in a very powerful way, and Lord, may your spirit be powerful and evident in this room. Speak to hearts, tap on hearts. To each one of us individually, Lord, speak to us. From the least to the most spiritual, old to young, children, everybody, Father, speak to us through the word about a refuge for our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in Chicago. It was the coldest it ever was in Chicago. Unfortunately, when I was there in Chicago, they broke the heat record. And they broke the cold record, both while I was there. And they've had those records for a long time in Chicago. And I got both of them. On the cold day, the cold week, it was a very cold week, and it never got to zero for 7 days at any point in any day. And the coldest it got without the wind chill was 22 below zero, but it was howling winds. And the winds of Chicago get very cold. And so with the wind chill, it's 85 below zero. And it was cold. I remember I drove a bus one day, and I parked the bus, and I had to park the I dropped everybody off right in front of the building to go into, because it was dangerously cold. People were dying. It was so cold. And I had to run I had to park the bus way away at a different parking lot, and then run all the way back to the building where everybody was, and it was a long way, so I started running, because it was bad, and you had to wear dress clothes everywhere you went. So I had dress shoes, and dress shoes you can only put so many pairs of socks on under dress shoes. And so I was running really fast, and it was so cold by the time I got there, my zipper was zipped all up here. It bounced, hit my lip, and stuck to my lip. That's how cold it was. And then the next day I was driving, and I got our bus, and most of the buses wouldn't start because the diesel was turning to gel. When diesel gets cold enough, diesel number 2, which is the common diesel you have, it turns to a goo, it turns to gel. And the diesel, it was turning to gel, and I just happened to get my rig started. And I got it going, and boy, it was running terrible because it would get clumps of gel going through the system, and then it'd get liquid again. And I wouldn't let it idle because it would die when it idled. And unfortunately, I got to a set of train tracks. You have to stop at all train tracks with buses, and it was a full-size bus, and I driving it for church, and I stopped there, and then I stopped, and I thought, I don't want to put it in gear because it might die, and if it dies, I know it's not going to start. So I left it, and I gave it some gas, so it was like 1,000 RPMs, and I was neutral because I didn't want it in drive when I stopped because the RPMs, I kept my foot on the gas. And so I put it back in gear, and it was so cold that when I put it back in gear, the cold snapped the drive line, and so the drive line just dropped on the ground, so I couldn't go anywhere. So I had to call a tow truck. And the tow truck, we were waiting on the bus was somewhat warm, the engine ran, we were sitting there waiting for the tow truck. Tow truck came, we got off the bus, they hooked it up, and I thought, okay, they will let us get the tow truck. And the guy hooked it up and just took off. And we were standing there in the middle of the cold, and it must have been 5 in the morning, it was cold. And I watched him drive away and said, where are you going? We're here. We looked around, the guy with me looked around, and it was bad, it was dangerous, and we started running as fast as we could, and he ran to a gas station, but it wasn't in a good area, and the only part of the gas station was the little center island where they sell you stuff, and that was all bulletproof glass, and they wouldn't let you in. And so by that time, we were getting frigidly cold, and we were prepared to be out in this cold all day, and so we were running, next place down, we ran a couple blocks, and there was a hospital. And I remember running in that door of that hospital. Wind is howling. We are freezing. Can't feel your feet anymore. Faces are just frozen. Everything's frozen. And to run in there, and it just instantly, it was so hot that it started hurting because we were so cold. But I remember just getting that door closed behind me and just the quiet and the warmth. And to find a refuge to get out of that terrible storm that could kill us, that did kill people. A refuge is a wonderful thing. It's a hiding place, a place to get out of the noise, out of the storm, out of the danger. And the Bible calls God our refuge here. And God is our place to flee to protection, a place to confide in, a person to confide in. And there's some times when we're supposed to seek refuge. Number one, we're supposed to seek refuge when we are overwhelmed. Psalm 142, verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I have walked, they have privily laid a snare for me. And so he says, when I was overwhelmed, I came to God. I cried unto thee, verse 5, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. If you've not been overwhelmed yet, just wait. You will be. You're going to be at some point overwhelmed. You will come when you're over your head. If you're a child and never been overwhelmed, good. Enjoy childhood. Childhood's fun. And enjoy it. But there'll be a time in your life where things just come to you so heavy and so much, you're going to say, ah, I don't know what to do. And you will feel hopeless. You will feel like there's no hope. You will say, Calgon, take me away. You will do something where you're just desperate and where you just say, I don't have any answers. I have no idea what to do. Where you are hopeless. And at that point, when you're overwhelmed, you've got a God that can take care of you. Psalm chapter 61. Most of you don't even know what Calgon take me away is. And so, Psalm 61. YouTube it. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. When I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I want to say overwhelm comes in life. You're going to face it someday. Life's going to throw stuff at you. Situations are going to come at you. It is going to happen. Your hope is when you go to God, because he's your rock that is higher than you. He is the way to get your head above water. He is the refuge you run into when you're overwhelmed, when things are too much, when there's too many things. You have a place to go, a rock that is higher than you. Lead you to that rock when you need refuge. First of all, we can go to refuge when we're overwhelmed. Secondly, we can go to refuge when other help fails us. Back in our text in Psalm 142, when our refuge fails us, when other refuge fails us, we go to the Lord. Psalm 142 and verse 4. I looked at my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. He says, you know what? Nobody cared for my soul. Nobody understood. Nobody can help me. Man failed me. No man helped me. And I want to say this. You will find you'll need a refuge even if you have good people in your life. But good people will help you a lot with the need for refuge. Good people will help you a lot. And they will be, and they'll help you in good ways, in godly ways, and in practical ways. Good people are refuges for you. And that's good. If you have the right spouse, if you have the right friends, you will find refuge in your family, and you will find refuge in your church, and refuge in your friends. But there will be times when no refuge will understand. When you will try to explain it to somebody, and by the way, sometimes you need that refuge and you get overwhelmed, and what is overwhelming you is not that big. And you can't even explain it to anybody. Because it's really not like you have terminal cancer and you're going to be evicted and your health is falling apart and everybody hates you. Sometimes it's not that big, but there's just something about that moment with how Satan's attacking you where it's just too much right now. And you can't even explain it to somebody sometimes. Nobody will understand because it's what you're going through. It's a special attack of Satan for you. And other times, somebody will try to help you and they won't. And sometimes, the people you need at those times, for some reason, they will not help you. Or they cannot help you. And at that time, refuge fails you. The good thing is you have refuge. Always, always. When your refuge fails you, when you think you need help and you can't seem to get it from anybody on earth, when there's nowhere else to turn, it says, when no man cared for my soul, as David said here in the cave of Absalom, David said, no man cared for my soul. Refuge failed me. I couldn't find any help. I looked at my right hand. I looked at my left hand, and I said, refuge is failing me. You know what? There's a refuge in God at that point. He never fails you. He's a refuge. He's always there, and he's the refuge when all other refuge fails. We have something for the men we're going to have here. We haven't had our men's bathroom. We haven't decorated since we moved into this thing. I've been kicking around for a long time what to have for them. And men aren't just picky. Women, we got you taken care of right away. It's all pretty and nice and smells good. Men, nobody cares. But I decided I wanted something in the men's bathroom and something nice in the men's bathroom. And you know, I've been praying about it and looking about it. We thought about football, except we couldn't pick a team. We thought about, and I thought, what do men like picture? Never mind, we won't do that. And we thought, what can we do and what can we have for men? And what is spiritual? And so we looked at a lot of things and got things. And what I got is I got a picture. And I thought of it, and as I saw this picture, I've seen it before, and I couldn't find it for a long time. And finally, I found it again. And we're going to put this with some verses about refuge in time of trouble in our bathroom and hanging on the wall there for the men. And in this picture we have, this picture is a true, this is the actual picture. This is before Photoshop. This is before all that stuff. And this picture was done, and there's a story behind this picture. This is a picture of a lighthouse. And this man in this picture, and I'll show you the picture. I'll walk it back there so you can see it. Let me get it right here. This is a real picture of a real guy and at a lighthouse. And the story behind this is this guy was actually trapped in this lighthouse, and he had this serious situation where he was stuck there, and literally it came through and just smacked into the building and whacked, and it was an incredible storm that went way above what anything had gone before, and. But the lighthouse, as you can see, was built very solidly. And the storms are just nailing this lighthouse. This man, you say, the waves are coming all around you. Why are you standing outside with a hand in your pocket? And he literally is. He's standing out there with his hand in his pocket. But the reason he did that is this picture was taken from a helicopter by a professional photographer who came to take pictures. This man thought this is a rescue helicopter. And he walked out, and he walked out in the middle. He walked out there, and he's looking up and seeing how they're going to rescue him. And as he got ready to look and see how they're going to rescue him, the biggest wave of all came and whacked into this thing and hit this lighthouse. There's actually seven pictures in sequence. He opens the door and runs back in because the waves overwhelm everything. See, he went outside to see how they're going to rescue him, thinking the helicopter was going to drop a ladder. He thought it was going to be okay. He thought everything was all done, everything was all taken care of. And all of a sudden, he realized the guy's just standing there going, click, click, click. And he realized he didn't have any rescue. What was his hope? Run back in the lighthouse. Go back into the refuge. The refuge is where he's safe. The refuge is where he's fine. The refuge is going to be where he's taken care of. And this man survived, by the way, and everything was fine with him. Why? Because he knew to go back into the refuge. When man's help wasn't there to rescue him, he was still fine inside the lighthouse. And this man survived because he knew when he was overwhelmed, when those waves you see coming right there, they're going to go all the way around and wrap around where he's standing in a moment. But he ran back in the lighthouse, and refuge did not fail him. I want to say, sometimes you're going to think, I helped them when they needed help. I'm going to call them up. You're going to find out refuge fails you sometimes. You might think, you know what? They'll understand. And you go to them with how big your burden is, and they say, that's no big deal. You need help in time of trouble, and you call, and you know what? They just don't have the means right then. Or somebody you always confided in, or someone who always was there for you, dies. And refuge fails you. I want to say, you're supposed to go to the Lord for refuge when there is, when other refuges fail. And when other help isn't there. There's people who can help you. There's things that can help you. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But eventually you're going to need to learn to go to the Lord for your refuge. Number one, you go to the Lord for refuge when you're overwhelmed. Number two, when other help fails us. Number three, when you're in trouble. Psalm 59. Psalm 59. Psalm 59, we see when their trouble comes and when you're in trouble. Psalm 59, verse 16. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and God of my mercy. I want to say this. When you're in trouble, do not say God didn't help you until the very end, because God usually does not come and deliver you early. Wait till the last clock ticks. Wait till the end of the entire story. Wait till you are not delivered before you say God didn't deliver you. I see people 2 days, 3 days, 4 days at a time freaked out, panicked. God likes you to live by faith sometimes. He comes through at the last second. He makes you wait. He makes you live by faith. And you know what? He always comes through. And he's there for in times of trouble. Until the disasters leave, chapter 57. And you go to God in trouble, and you go there until the disasters are all over. Psalm 57, be merciful to me. O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He is there for when you're in trouble. He is there until the disasters leave. You go to God when you're overwhelmed, when other help fails you, when you're in trouble. Next, when you're needy. When you're needy. Isaiah 25. Let me just take you out. I'm going to be back in the book of Psalms, so don't lose your spot. But Isaiah 25. When you're needy, you go to God as for a refuge for your soul. Psalm 25. Isaiah 25. And verse 4, thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Listen, you come to God in your need, and you'll find God is there for you. Come to God in your need. Come to God in your trials. Come to God when the storms are big. Go into the shelter. Go into the refuge. When the wave is crashing against the building and about to overwhelm you, you go to him when you're needy, and God is there for the needy, he says. God takes care of the needy in Isaiah. It says this. Next, go to the Lord for safety. Let him be your refuge for safety. Psalm 91. I want you to go to the Lord because you need a refuge when you're overwhelmed. You need a refuge when other help fails you. You need a refuge in trouble. A refuge for when you're needy, and a refuge for safety. Psalm 91, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I want to tell you, God can keep you safe in any situation. And we live in a nation right now that is overly panicked. We live in a nation right now that is overly worried about safety because of the shootings and other things. I want to say this. We are blessed with great safety. Remember, it was 27 out of 100 million students that got shot. Understand that. However, you need safety. And I praise God. I praise God this morning. I've told the stories about the places I've been and how God's kept me safe. I believe when you're doing the will of God for your life, when you're where you're supposed to be doing what God wants you to do, God can keep you safe in any circumstance. God can take care of you anywhere. He can keep you alive. He can keep you safe. He can keep from getting sick. He can keep you whatever you need. He can, and he knows what you need, and he knows what's best for you, and he can take care of you. You don't need to live in fear. You don't need to have the spirit of fear upon you. You don't need to always be stressed out about what's going to happen. God can put his angels in charge. And yes, there may be things you need to go through, and that's fine. You might need trouble. You might need to go through some things. But you know what? If you go into the refuge of him for safety, though society crumbles and falls apart, you still can be just fine in the refuge of God. And you need to go for him for safety. But you say, well, man, that's easy. That guy opens the door and runs inside. How do we do that with God? How do we go to God for a refuge? Well, the Bible tells us those things here in Psalm, Book of Psalms. Let's go to 46. I'm going to show you just how he says to go to the God and let him be your refuge. Because he's your refuge, not Christianity, not a church. The Lord himself is your refuge. He is your help in time of trouble. He is where you need to go. He is the ultimate one when there's nothing else, that there's no other answer. He is the refuge for your soul. First of all, if you want to have God become your refuge, you get it by him being with you, by God being with you. Psalm 46, you get it by the Lord being with you. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present, right with you, help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swellings thereof. Selah. Because we're not going to worry about those things because God's with us. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God is with us. That's our refuge. God's with you. The Lord is with us. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, and let us not be covetous and be content with such things as we have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says everything you have in life, everything that you've been given, he says be content with that. And God just says a real simple assumption. Because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's it. And God says, I'm with you, don't worry. That's all. Well, what's he going to do? You're safe. God says, don't you understand? I'm with you. That's all. And he just says, be content. He says, the Lord's our refuge in time of trouble. The God of Jacob is with us. We're not going to worry. If the mountains start rolling into the ocean and the waves and everything starts, listen, if the minds would have been right, we would not worry at all. We are not the least bit worried because God's with us. I always feel when I'm with my kids, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Just, I'm with you. I'll hold your hand. I'll walk with you. I'll go with you. Don't worry about it. Dad can take care of it. Dad's been there. Dad knows what to do. I want them to feel just enough that Dad knows enough about life, and Dad's strong enough, and Dad's capable enough that you don't need to worry. If Dad's letting you go there and going with you, it's going to be okay. And I'm fallible. I can be killed. I cannot foresee things. I could have somebody beat me up. Well, 20 guys. But I could have something like that happen. Anything. You know, God sits there and says, you know, I'm really big. That person's threatening you. Don't worry. Listen, I can go tap and their heart stops beating. I can make it so that the car breaks down before they get to your house. I can make it so that their plan doesn't work out. I can do anything. I'm just with you. It's going to be enough. How do you make God your refuge? You just realize that God's with you. You know how you have God with you in a special way? You obey Him and be in His will. Leave God's will, you're on your own. Yes, God indwells you, but He's not really closely with you. He's watching through a glass far away, because you're not allowed Him to be the Lord of your life and watch Him and being with you closely, side by side. Number one, how do you let God be your refuge? By letting God be with you, and by just knowing that God's with you is enough, doing the things that keep Him with you. Number two, by trusting Him. Psalm 91. We're already there, some other verses, but Psalm 91. By trusting that God being with you is enough. Psalm 91. And verse 1, he that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's those who stay close to God, have God with them. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Just trust Him. The things that we think are so big are not. The storms, listen, in that picture there, those waves look really big. But that was a well-made lighthouse. And if you just get in the lighthouse is stronger than the waves. And we just got to say, you know what? God can take care of me. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. God can take care of me. The Lord can do whatever needs done. I'm going to trust Him. I will not fear. The Lord is on my side. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 21. The Lord is my strength, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Just relax if you're in the hands of God. Let Him be your shelter because you trust Him and because you just go to Him and say, okay, I trust you, God. And the biggest one, number three, is the biggest and most common one, is by going into the shelter of prayer. By going into the shelter of prayer. Keep your finger in Psalm, but I want to go to the book of Hebrews there in the New Testament. By going into the shelter of prayer. Hebrews chapter 6. A couple different verses I want to read to you. The shelter of prayer. Hebrews 6 and verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. It says, we have this hope which is in heaven that anchors into the very presence of God, that we go into and flee into that presence of God with an anchor of hope. And we have that. And then Hebrews 4, he says about this refuge of going to God in prayer. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with hand, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It says, you know what? Come boldly to God's grace, God's throne, and realize that there's a shelter there in prayer. Go back to the book of Psalms, if you have your Bibles. If not, I'll read it as you listen along. And you'll go back and you'll find in Psalm chapter 62, you'll find God's place of refuge in prayer. I think the biggest refuge we have in prayer is very simply, the Bible calls it pouring out your heart to God. Pouring out your heart to God. Psalm 62, 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Your great refuge is to go into the presence of God and say, Lord, I'm worried about this. Lord, I don't have an answer for this. Father, I feel like this. I feel like you haven't worked this out. I don't know what to do about this. And this thing right here is just bothering me. And Lord, I'm just brokenhearted about this. And Lord, I don't know what's going to happen in the future about this. And I ask you to give me wisdom about that. And Lord, you know it hurts me. You know how I feel about this. And Lord, I'm worried about this. And I don't know what to think about this. And Lord, I need you to just give me some help on this. I can't handle this. The Bible says you pour out your heart before him. You are casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, every feeling of your heart, all your care, you can give God all of your worries, all of your thoughts, all of the things you don't know. You can say, God, I don't understand this. Lord, I don't see the answer for this. Lord, I am overwhelmed with this. Lord, I don't have enough faith in this. I'm just doubting right now. The Bible says, cast all your care upon him. Tell him everything. Don't think, I'm not going to tell him this. He's going to not like it because I'm going to tell him that I'm just having a problem with faith right now, and I don't want him to know that. He already knows it. But you going and pouring out your heart to him, you going and telling him this, what it does, the Bible says you cast your care upon him. And you gather up all your messes, and you gather up all your worries, and you gather up all your doubts, and you gather up all of your cares, and you just pile them up, and you just throw them into God's hand in prayer. And they just land in his hand like a little speck of dust in the hand of the Almighty God, and they don't burden him down like they do us. They don't overwhelm him. And you will find, if you will do that, when you leave, you will find the weight is off your shoulders. If you really give it to God and talk to him about it, pour out your heart before him. You might weep, you might cry out. That's why you should shut the door of your closet and go alone in prayer, because you will really want to pour out to him what you feel, what you're worried about, your worries, your insecurities. You have one person who will never laugh at you, one person who will never tell anybody else, one person who will never use it against you. Pour out your heart to God. You need to go alone and pour out your heart. And when you do, and when you go with God in prayer, and when you go in for a shelter from that storm, when you shut the door of that prayer and you're alone with God and saying, Lord, I'm worried about this. I don't know about this. I want to do this, and I'm not strong enough to do this, and I like this thing, and I can't let go of it. Lord, I can't seem to stop doing this sin. And tell him everything. You pour out your heart to God, you will find you're casting your care upon him, and he can carry it for you. He is that refuge you enter into in prayer by telling him and pouring out your heart, and you will find a refuge. Listen, I've had some storms in the last 6 months. I've had some storms in the last 6 months. Where would I be if I couldn't have gone alone with God and said, Lord, you know, I am the pretty extreme on a person who doesn't like to share my heart with people. It's not a comfort zone for me. But I do need to do it with God. And some of us need to do it with people too. But I need to do it with God. And you know, when I do that, when I enter in, wherever I am, whether it's in my car, whether it's in a field, whether it's in the forest, whether it's here at the church building, wherever I am, and I just stop and say, you know what, I got too much here. You ever have your head spin? Ah! And you stop, and you go alone, and say, Lord, I just got to talk to you about some things. I got to share some. What is this? You do that. You shut the door, you go into the lighthouse, and the storm's raging outside. And boy, the noise is still out there, but you're in prayer and a refuge. You're in your safe place. You're alone with God. By going to the shelter of prayer, when you pour out your heart before him, when you find that, trust in him at all times, ye people. We said that makes him your refuge. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. You want to be a person who has a refuge in the storms of life. And by the way, you live in a troubled world with a lot of storms. The Bible says it's going to be that way. The Bible says this life will be full of storms. But Jesus, even himself, would go alone with his Father and spend time. Trust God. Do his will and stay close to him. Go to him in the shelter of prayer, and you'll find a refuge from all the storms of life. And you know what you'll find? Your Father will become your best friend. He won't become somebody you're obligated to serve. He'll become someone you love to be with. You'll become someone who's helped you and someone you know and someone who's with you and someone who blesses you. And you'll find that God is your rock, your high tower, your shelter, your shelter from the time of storm. And the storms will still blow, but you went into your shelter. And sometimes we are sitting there and we have the storm going, but we're not walking into our shelter. We're sitting there getting beaten and blown and rained upon and overwhelmed and shaken and shivering and struggling with loneliness or burdens or worries or stress or anxiety or not knowing what to do. Overwhelmed. Make God your refuge from those storms. Make Him your refuge from those storms. And the Bible says you will have peace for your soul and He'll take your burdens. And the waves will still hit the lighthouse, but you're inside the lighthouse now. But many of us stay outside the lighthouse and say, you know, I probably should go into the lighthouse. Don't do that. Let God be a refuge and go there tonight. Tell Him everything. Trust Him that He can take care of you. Go and stay in His will and keep Him with you and blessing in His hand upon your life and stay in His plan. And you will find that shadow of the Almighty covers you and is a refuge in the craziness of a very crazy world. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you that you're a refuge. Lord, religions aren't refuge, churches aren't refuge, preachers aren't refuges. God is a refuge. A very present help in time of trouble. I pray, Lord, that we would find you. I pray tonight that we would enter into that refuge. I pray tonight that we would trust you. I pray tonight that we would go and stay in your will. And have you be with us and realize that our big God is right next to us. He's got our backs. He's big and powerful and strong. And I pray we'd make sure that we spend time not just carrying our burdens alone because they're too much for us, but giving them to you, Father. Lord, how many arrogant people I've seen thinking they can handle everything. And then after a while, they need a refuge. And a lot of them try to medicate it away or drink it away or drug it away or entertain it away and try to escape. But thank you, Lord. We have a real one that's not going to go away and not going to become an addiction. Please, Lord, help us to have refuge in you tonight. If anybody doesn't know you as Savior, help them to come to know you as Savior tonight and find a refuge in you. We thank you for being that refuge in time of storm, a present help in time of trouble. A rock that is higher than I when we're overwhelmed. Thank you for being this refuge for us. Thank you for all the psalms about this. Help us to come boldly and obtain help there. In Jesus' name. Our heads about